Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, we love you and we thank you again. We thank you, Lord, for what you did, for the accomplishment done at the Father's will and plan for us. We give you praise and honor and glory. Now this tonight, Lord, we just pray that what comes forward, Lord, would be encouragement. It would be enlightening, Lord, and it would be edifying. It would comfort, build up, and exhort your people. I yield myself to you, Lord. It's not about me, it's about you. So hide me behind the cross, Lord, and you receive all honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been hearing some good things for the past few Wednesday nights from Harry about the resurrection or the crucifixion. Part of that that we need to understand is not just what was done, but what it means to us. One of the most important things in our walk as Christians is that we not only know what we have, but we know that, first of all, we're His. That's a done deal. That's not hopefully or maybe, or if we're lucky. Amen? We're His. So in that case, we know, we should know whose we are. Whose we are. Amen? And then to go along with that, we need to know who we are. And there's so much that I could have probably gone for another 2 or 3 weeks on this, but I'm just going to do enough tonight I remember back here, it's been a long time, in fact, since I talked about this, and it was kind of it wasn't so ingrained in me as it is now, if I can say that. The focus wasn't there that there has been on this time. But when I got to start thinking about the things that God has done and the things that God has promised and what salvation and that crucifixion and salvation, when He said it's finished, I don't think sometimes we really appreciate because we don't comprehend. It's not that we don't appreciate it, but we don't comprehend it to appreciate it the way it needs to be appreciated. What God gave us, what God did for us through the work of the cross and through Jesus, and what the promises really mean to us. praise the Lord. I just want to go through some of this. There's some good stuff here. And like I say, this is by no means exhaustive. This is just touching the tip of the iceberg. Turn with me, if you will, to Galatians 3.13. Galatians 3.13. Galatians, yes, Galatians. At the risk of being chased out of here tonight, I will speak English, not Chinese. Galatians 3.13 says, Christ purchased our freedom, redeeming us from the curse or doom of the law and its condemnation by Himself, becoming a curse for us, for it is written in the Scriptures, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree or who is crucified. In the New King James, that's the Amplified. The New King James just says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And that word redeemed means He has recovered us from the power of another. He bought us up, He ransomed us, and He purchased us. So we are the purchased, the redeemed, the ransomed of God. Amen? That's who you and I are. We are redeemed. We are the redeemed of the Lord. And what does the Bible say? Let the redeemed of the Lord what?
Say so.
Say so. Amen? With the mouth confession is made, with the heart man believes. Amen? And you need to confess these things. When things begin to attack you, when things begin to come into your life that try to bring you down or try to get your focus drawn in another direction, you need to start quoting who you are in Christ. I am the redeemed of the Lord. Amen? And you don't just whisper it. Say it, man. Say it. Driving down the street, working in a machine room or something. Say it. Say it out loud. I am the redeemed of the Lord. You got to know who you are. When a police officer goes onto the street, if he does not know who he is, then he can't operate in the authority that's backing him up. Amen? Does that make sense? You have to know, first of all, who's backing up what you're saying and what you're doing. And you do it according to the law or the ordinances or the statutes. You don't do it just on how you feel. You have a guideline. And our guideline is right here. And it's very clear what these things mean. Amen? We're free. Amen? In fact, that's the next one. John 8:32 talks about free. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And again, that's John 8:32. Free means that you have been set at liberty from the dominion of sin. Listen carefully. There is no more operation of sin in your life. You make mistakes, you have the ability to disobey, but that's not the sin that's talked about here. The sin that's talked about here is the sin unto death, which there's only one sin unto death, and that's rejecting the love and the salvation of God. Which salvation, I mean, only God's love is what brought us salvation, amen? So you're free. So now we're redeemed and we're free. That's who you and I are. The next is purchased. We're the purchased of God. Purchased of God. That means we belong to another. We don't have the right. We have the ability, but we don't have the right to operate in anything except what the one who owns us says. Is that hard enough for you? Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 says, "In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed." After you believed, you were sealed. Sealed. What does that mean? Once you're sealed, it's done. There's no way anything or anybody can get at you unless you allow it. Because God's already made up His mind. You just need to make up yours, amen? And I need to make up mine. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of what? Promise. Promise of what? Eternal life. Promise that He's given us all things that we need. And that nothing will be able to separate us from His love, or nothing will be able to take us out of His hand. These things are empowering if you'll take them to heart, if you begin to meditate them, if you begin to speak them out. Amen? Purchase means possession or property. We're the possession or property of God. That's been sealed. It's a sealed deal. What's that they used to say? Signed, sealed, and delivered? And that's the way it is. And that word sealed means secured. Listen carefully. This is so cool. Secured from Satan. One who carries or wears the seal or stamp of God. Praise the Lord. Every one of us in this room are the ones who carry the seal or stamp of God. And do you realize that means also that we have His approval? Did you hear me? We have His approval. That excites me. I don't know about y'all, but that excites me. Next, I'm bought. Part of that purchase is I'm bought. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Again, that's past tense. That sounds like it's a finished deal. There's no discussion left. It's signed, sealed, and delivered, if you will. Forgiven. Colossians 2:13. "And you and I, being dead in our trespasses and the uncircumcision of our flesh." Without getting too graphic or detailed, we all know that that's a cutting away. That's what uncircumcision is. We haven't had the nastiness cut away before we know Jesus. And then when we become born again, that, you know, that corruption, the sin, it's cut away. It's done away with. It's already done. We are allowed to, especially in this day and age, when you come to know the Lord, walk into the presence of God, the power of God, the anointing of God, completely, totally exonerated. Amen? Completely and totally exonerated. Uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together, has made us alive together with Him, having forgiven you all, forgiving you all, and I, all, my trespasses. And that word forgiven just blatantly means restored or preserved. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, I mean, our flesh needs to be held down, needs to be controlled by the Spirit, not by the flesh, our emotions and things, made alive together with Him because we're forgiven of all. So we're restored and preserved from all our trespasses. Are you with me so far? You're the justified. or justified and righteous, as far as I could see in the study that I did, are interchangeable. We all know that justified means just as if you had never sinned. That's a nice way to remember it. Or righteousness means the right standing with God. We have right standing. We're justified because of the work of the cross and our acceptance of that gift. Amen? Acts 13:39. If you're wanting to turn there. And by Him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by what? The law of Moses. Jesus didn't come to do away with the law, but He came to fulfill it. That means He made and took care of all the requirements that held us down by law that would point the finger of accusation at us. It's been done away. We're not under the law. We're under the grace and mercy of God. Justified means that we have been rendered righteous or declared, pronounced, and pronounced righteous. Did you get that? And by Him, everyone who believes is justified from all things. Or we are justified, or we're rendered righteous, declared, and pronounced righteous from all things, which we could not be justified by any other thing or by the law of Moses or any other thing except the grace and mercy and the work of God on the cross, the work that Jesus did, the fulfillment of God's plan to redeem us. Amen? Real quickly, Romans 3:28. You don't necessarily have to turn to it. I'll turn to it and read it. Romans 3:28. For we hold that a man is justified and made upright by faith, independent of and distinctly apart from good deeds. It's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but it's according to His mercy that He saved us, okay? Or that we're justified. Or the works of the law. The observance of the law has nothing to do with justification. One of the things that we tend to struggle with, and I know people in this room, myself included, who struggle with these things, is we feel if we don't do every little thing just exactly the way our little brain computes out that we should be doing it, that we've missed the mark, we've sinned against God, or we've displeased Him. That is not the case. Remember that God looks at the heart, He sees the heart, and He knows what's there. It's not your outward actions, but it's that heart that God looks at. And when your heart's right, your outward actions will correspond. So you don't do everything just exactly the way you think it should be in black and white. But if your heart's towards Him and your heart's desire is to do the right thing, then God says you have been and you are justified. And it's not going to be by the works of the law or by the works of, intricate details. It's going to be by a heart that's full of love and full of adoration for Him and saying, God, I don't ever want to displease You. I don't ever want to do wrong in Your eyes. So what that also means is we need to stop looking for ways that we've displeased Him or that we've done wrong in His eyes. Usually it's what's wrong in our eyes, and we take it to Him like He's got the problem. It's not Him that's got the problem, it's us. Amen? We have been justified. So you and I are justified. Just as if we had never sinned. Galatians 5:1. Therefore, since we are justified or acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation and hold, or to hold and to enjoy peace with God through our Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Did I go too fast for you? Did you all get that? Nobody answered. Should I do it again?
Do it again.
Okay. It says, therefore, since we are justified, or we are acquitted and declared righteous, and given a right standing. You have been given a right standing with God. That's what justification is. Through what? Through faith. Faith of receiving the work that He did, confessing that He is Lord, that He was the virgin-born Son of God. Amen? And that He died and rose again the third day. Amen? Fulfilling all the requirements that God had to save you and I and to take us away from the law and out of the hand of the enemy, and away from all the accusations and the accounting in the law books of the laws we broke. Amen? Not talking about the Mosaic law, but the laws of God. Okay? Through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation. How many got the How many got peace when they realized they were reconciled to God? Amen. Praise the Lord. To hold and to enjoy. See, if you're worried about anything, then you can't enjoy your salvation, or you can't enjoy that peace or that justification, can you? Because it's stealing your peace. Worry does not come from God. You need to get rid of it. Put it down once and for all. Remember one time a guy was talking about somebody who really needed or who was looking for help with an overeating problem. And he just simply said it, man, I mean, you can't be any more clear than this. Put the knife to your throat. No, he didn't mean cut your throat. He just meant, or so some people would say, push away from the table. Amen? Push away from the table. Anyway, grasp the fact that we have peace, the peace of reconciliation, to hold and enjoy peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Amen? Justified. I'm going to give you a couple more on that particular one. Galatians 2:16. Again, you don't have to turn there. I will turn to it and read it to you. Galatians 2:16. Yet we know that a man is justified or reconciled, or excuse me, reckoned righteous and in the right standing with God, not by the works of the law, but only through faith and absolute reliance on and adherence and trust in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Therefore, even we ourselves have believed on Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, for we cannot be justified by any observance of the ritual of the law given by Moses. That's why the things that the Jewish people still do today, I'm not judging whether they're from God or not. I'm just saying that God says you're not justified by those things anymore. If Jesus paid the price and He was the final sacrifice, then you're justified. And your rituals are not going to do anything except if you do them in observance of who God is. I'll let it go at that. Because by keeping legal rituals and by works, no human being can ever be justified or declared righteous and put in right standing with God. Okay. Last one. Chapter 3, verse 24 of Galatians. Chapter 3, verse 24 of Galatians. Okay, so that the law served as our trainer or our guardian, our guide to Christ to lead us until Christ came, that we might be justified or declared righteous, put in right standing with God by and through faith alone. It's by faith that you're justified. It's by faith that you stand. It's by faith. It's the lack of faith that causes you to fall. It's the lack of faith that causes you to displease God. Amen? Because without faith, it's what? You can't please Him. It's impossible to please Him, He says. So, it's all by faith. You're justified by your faith. The day you said, Jesus, I believe in You. You are the Son of God. And You did die and rise again. And I receive You into my life. That sealed it. That was the faith that was exercised that sealed the deal. Amen? That's when the blood came and covered you. That's when you were cleansed from all unrighteousness. And it all was put behind you. Behind you. It's not there anymore. What got Lot's wife in trouble was she kept looking back to the old. We're not to do that. We're to set our face like a flint and not look back. Scripture is very clear. It says, he who sets his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not here. That's not judgmental. I'll let the Holy Spirit deal with you about that. I just threw that in for free. If you're looking back, then you're looking at things that are dead and gone. There's really nothing there. There's really no reason to look back, is there? If you really believe you were redeemed and justified, that your sins were taken away, if they were covered by the blood, and they were buried in the deepest sea, and God has no record of them, then let's don't look back. Let's keep looking. What? Forward. For what? To the prize. The mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? Let's run the race. You can't run the race if you keep looking back. You're going to bump your nose or bump your head or stumble and fall. Or run over somebody else. In Acts 26:18. I'll just read that to you. Acts 26:18. I've got several scriptures here I want to read to you. So you're sanctified. Sanctified. Set apart. to and for God, to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may thus receive forgiveness and release from their sins and a place and portion among those who are consecrated and purified by faith in me. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'm going to read verses 9 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Is this too complicated, or are y'all getting something out of this? Okay. Do you not know that unrighteousness and the wrongdoers will not inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God? But do not be deceived or misled. Neither the impure and immoral and idolaters, nor adulterers, nor those who participate in homosexuality, nor cheats, nor swindlers and thieves, nor greedy graspers, nor drunkards, nor foul-mouthed revilers and slanderers, nor extortioners and robbers will inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God. Verse 11 says, and such some of you were once, not anymore. But you were washed clean, purified by a complete atonement for sin and made free from the guilt of sin. You shouldn't be having guilt anymore. You should be convicted if something happens that you're not comfortable with or that you know maybe you messed up, but there should be no guilt. You've been released from the law of sin and death. Okay? From the guilt of sin. And you were consecrated, set apart, hallowed, and you were justified or pronounced righteous by what? By trusting in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit of our God. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 2:11. Y'all just want to write these down. I will turn to them and read them for you. Hebrews 2:11. For both he who sanctifies or making men holy and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So we're the brethren of God. We're the brothers of God. We're the brothers of Jesus. Amen? So we're not only sanctified, but we're brothers. Hebrews 10, verses 8 through 10. When he said just before, you have neither desired nor have you taken delight in sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, of which all are offered according to the law. He then went on to say, behold, here I am, coming to do your will. Thus he does away with and annuls the first or the former order or the law of Moses as it means of expiating sin. Expiating, expiating sin. So that he might inaugurate and establish the second or the latter order. And then verse 10, it says, and in accordance with this will of God, we have been made holy, we have been made consecrated and sanctified through the offering made once for all of the body of Christ, the Anointed One. Once for all. Amen? Praise the Lord. And then in verse 14 it says, for by a simple offering he has forever completely cleansed and perfected those who are consecrated and made holy. And that's you and me. And the last one, we don't hardly ever get to this book, but it's there, so we'll just have a quick look. Jude, the last book before Revelation. Jude 1, and I think there is only one book, and one chapter. So Jude 1:1 says, Jude, a servant of Christ, of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and the brother of James, writes this letter to those who are called, chosen, and dearly loved by God the Father, and separated, set apart, and kept for Jesus Christ. And that's you and I. Did you hear everything we are there? What he's talking about? We're dearly loved, we're called, we're chosen, we're separated and set apart and kept for Jesus Christ. We are the bride. Amen? We're part of the body. And we can't be separated from Jesus. Too much to swallow? We're more than conquerors. Romans 8, 36 and 37. Even as it is written, for thy sake we are put to death all the day long. We are regarded and counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet amid all these things, we are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through Him who loved us. There are people who try to attack and come against us every day. There are people who, they go beyond thinking you're peculiar. They want to attack you. They want to attack what you believe. But you know what? We're more than conquerors. Jesus paid the price. He did the work. And now we receive the benefit of that. And we walk in the benefit of that. Praise the Lord. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. And we gain a surpassing, not just a little bit, not just to get by, not just a slight, but a surpassing victory through Him who loved us. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 53:5 and 1 Peter 2:24 says we were and we are healed. So just a quick synopsis, or let's go down the list. First of all, you are the redeemed of the Lord. You're free. You're the free one in God. You've been purchased. You've been sealed. You've been bought. You've been forgiven. So who I am in Christ? I'm the redeemed. You and I are the free. You and I are the purchased. You and I are the sealed. We're the bought, the forgiven. We're the justified. We're the sanctified. We're the ones who are more than conquerors. In Isaiah 53:5, we're the healed. Isaiah 53:5 says we are, and 2 Peter 2:24 says we were healed. We are healed. It's a done deal. By the bruises and stripes of Jesus, the things that He suffered, we are healed. Healed in every area of our life, physically, spiritually, emotionally. We're mentally sound. We're physically sound. Amen? Now we've got to do is come in line with that and agree with that. Amen? And where's the power? In agreement. Amen? Confessing with your mouth. We are an heir of salvation, seated with Him in heavenly places. We're the image and likeness of God in Genesis 1:27. We have power and love and a sound mind. That's who we are. We're the ones who have power and love and a sound mind. That world out there is full of uneasiness, full of silliness, full of apprehension, full of unstable thoughts, unstable actions, but we are sound in our minds. We're the sound of mind. And quite clearly, to all who accept Him, He gives the power to become the children of God. You are the child of God. You are. We're redeemed, forgiven, blessed. We're holy, sanctified, justified. That's who you are. That's not just what you possess, but that's who you are in God. You're the sound of mind. You portray and give out the wisdom of God, because the one who is wisdom lives in you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Y'all can probably think of a whole lot more that we are in God. It's what you are. It's who you are in God. There's nothing negative there. Now, that's not something to go around being, you know, arrogant and proud. Blessed, thankful, and humble. But knowing who you are, when you know who you are in Christ, then nothing can pull you down or shake you. Nothing. When it comes, if I can, I'll just refer back to Smith Wigglesworth when he was laying in bed one night. Satan entered the room clanging and clacking, almost like Jacob Marley when he came to Scrooge in the Christmas Carol, and knocking all that, making all that noise and stuff. Only in this case, Smith Wigglesworth, all he did was turn over and say, "Oh, it's just you," and went back to sleep. Total peace. Knew that Satan had no power or authority over him. Wasn't one bit worried about, "Oh no, Satan's here." He just was at peace because he knew who he was. He knew the authority that he had. And that's the other thing. You are the ones who have the authority. I have the authority. What I rejoice in is not the fact that I have authority over those principalities and powers or those powers of darkness, but that my name's written in the book of life. Amen? But I do thank God for the fact that He's given me that power and authority, and He's restored dominion to me. Amen? From the one who stole it from us, committed treason against God and stole that dominion from us because of the disobedience of Adam and Eve. Amen? Praise the Lord. There is so much, so much if we understood. And it all operates by love and faith. And it's all tied together because of whose we are. And it's because of whose we are that we can know and walk in who we are. Do you agree with that? Praise the Lord. Now that I've overwhelmed you, praise the Lord. I think this is good stuff. And I'm telling you, when you begin to start thinking about this and you begin to start meditating, looking on yourself, or when God puts a thought in your head about who you are, which means you understand what you have been given, what has been bestowed upon you, the good things that God has in mind for you, like the Scripture says, then I'm telling you, nothing can shake you. Nothing can shake you. I don't care if it's past things. You know, let me tell you something. I was reminded again the other day, and all of a sudden this became alive to me once more. Probably in a deeper way than it ever has before. And that is one of the things that God promised. He spoke this to Nebuchadnezzar, and he spoke it, I think, one or two other places in the Bible. Listen to me carefully. If you stay fixated on Jesus, if you stay in faith, and you operate in the power and authority God's given you, then one of the promises He's given is that your latter days, or your end days, will be greater than your former days. And that He will restore, listen carefully, He will restore to you the years that the cankerworm and the locust have eaten. The heartaches, the rejection gene that you've suffered at the hand of family and other people. Keep in mind, remember, we win. We win. God promised your latter days will be greater than your former. Look at Job. After all the suffering Job went through, at the end, his days were greater than his former days. Amen? Everything was restored. Amen? God does not want us to suffer loss. He said that in His Word. Isn't that right? So another thing you are is one who suffers no loss. Amen? Praise the Lord. I can tell you what started that. Thinking in my head is, I was thinking, you know, Lord, it's kind of ironic that being around my grandchildren, you know, sometimes, you know, you just random thoughts come, you know. But, I mean, in these fairy tales and stuff that they show, and they are fairy tales, we live in a reality and in God's reality, and there's no fairy tale about it, is all of you know how long I've been, basically, if you will, alone as far as marriage. And yet, I look at my life, and I'm blessed by you all. I'm blessed by God. I'm blessed by the relationship I have with my family, both the family of God and my physical family. So I'm really not alone. And of course, the most important one, the biggest one, is the blessing of knowing His presence in my life. And then all of a sudden, as I'm sitting there thinking about those things, even cartoons have a significant other. I'm thinking, wait a minute, Bill. And the thought came to me, I will restore to you that the years that the cankerworm and the locust have eaten. What does that mean? That means the heartache and the pain, the disillusionment that came from the things that you suffered. Amen? The Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. But the one thing that I know is those things are what has built character in me and has caused me to grow, because it's forced me to go where I knew there was help. And that's to the rock that's higher than I. Amen? You see what I'm saying? So even though it may hurt for now, and even though it may look like, well, that was a total disaster in my life. No, 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 no. Those are only stepping stones. God has good plans and thoughts for you. Just because it may not be sitting right in front of you this moment does not mean that this is all there is. Did you hear me? Do I need to say that again? Just because what you're experiencing right now or what you have gone through, and it doesn't look like anything's going to change in the near future, that doesn't mean that it's the end and it's all over. The days ahead are going to blow all of us away. Listen to me carefully. I don't know what God has planned for 2012, or 2011, excuse me, or 2012, but we'll focus on 2011 for right now. But I'm telling you that it's going to be good. And one of the things that's going to be even greater in our lives is when we walk in and confess who we are in Christ, because we know whose we are. Is there anybody here who has any doubt about who you belong to? Have you made the decision? Now, you may say that's a dumb question. Well, I want you to think about it, just like I think about it. There is no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt in my mind. because I won't go there. I won't let the enemy do that to me anymore. Yet learned he obedience by what? The things that he suffered. And what does obedience bring? The blessings, the promises of God into your life and to fruition in your life. Amen? Praise the Lord. So your latter days will be greater than your former, and the years that were taken and stolen from you, God will restore, and they'll be greater than the former days. Amen? You got to believe that. You got to believe that. You got to stand on that. And you got to make up your mind that you're going to believe no other report. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Is there anybody who needs prayer? These kind of messages are from God to build our faith, to bless us, to cause us to rise up and get so excited that we can't help but give Him honor and glory on a continual basis. Amen? Praise the Lord. He is worthy. Amen? Praise the Lord. Anything else we need to pray about? Then, Father, we thank You for this night. I thank You for giving me just a little bit of insight, Lord. Giving me the opportunity to share just a little bit of what this means and what it's all about, Lord. I pray, Lord, that as the days come, that we would all, starting right here, continue to look and to know and to grow into and step into the authority and the solid place of knowing who we are in You. No wavering, no doubting, no wondering, no anticipating, but knowing that it's ours. Now, Lord, seal Your word in the hearts. I thank You, Lord, that You're the one who gets honor and glory. And now go with Your people. Bless them. Let Your face shine upon them. Let Your power and Your authority and Your blessings follow them and flow through them and over them in everything they do. That according to Your word, Lord, whatever they do will prosper. In Jesus' name we give You praise. Amen.